Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. Here's our key sentence for this visit. Parishioners can better identify with the minister's burden for revival when they are helped to picture what it would look like. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, are you sensing more and more pastors preaching about the need for another spiritual revival in America?
It's hard for me to answer your question because I don't travel and visit with the large number of pastors I used to. So I don't really know what pastors are preaching from firsthand experience. From the ones I hear, and I hear ministers, probably different ministers, way more than the average pastor would, I would say the answer is probably no. Are there specific pastors who have that burden who are preaching about it? The answer to that is yes, but not on a wide-scale basis. I hear talk of it, but it kind of ebbs and flows. And the truth is, it's been a long time since we've experienced a real outpouring of God's Spirit across the United States, or even in a large section of the United States. If you say in the Southwest or in the South or in Northeast, somewhere like that, you really can't say there's been something wonderful happening. Probably the closest to that would be what's taken place in certain Christian schools in the country. There have been outbreaks of revival there, but not in the churches as much, but I'm sure there are specific churches where it's happened. Is it being preached more? I don't know how to respond to that. I do know that oftentimes it's among the ministers that this burden for revival begins to grow. So whether that's happening, if I were forced to give an answer, I'd probably say no. But if you ask me where my heart is, hopefully I would say yes. Ministers are sometimes reluctant to preach about revival because it's a very scary topic to the average individual who's listening. They're just frightened by that topic.
Why do you suppose that is? Why do you suppose that preaching about revival is scary to the average church person?
Well, you don't preach on revival unless the church is backslidden, you know. So for a backslidden populace, which means that first love for Jesus is gone, I mean, to hear about being brought back to spiritual life again and having to confess your sins, and it just, that scares the bejeepers out of people because it means I've been walking the wrong way, I have to change what's happening, turn around, start to walk a new way. And I think that's not the picture really to preach for people. I think that does put them on the defensive, and it's probably not how I would approach it. How I would approach it doesn't necessarily mean that it's right, but I think that if a minister could hold up the incredible attractiveness of what revival is like, it seems like the people respond to that much more positively than what has to change. People don't like to change. Change is a word they don't like. But if you could say, where you are now, there's something much better than what you're experiencing, that takes away some of the, at least the initial fear that is there. And I think those are wonderful themes to preach. When you talk about revival, you're talking about life at its very best. When you're talking about revival and evangelism are not the same. So you're talking to church people wanting to see new life to come to these people. When new life comes to God's people, then there is evangelism that happens. But you're more than anything, when you're talking revival, you're talking about an overwhelming sense of the presence of the Lord. And if you ask people, what would it be like in our church if we sensed Jesus present with us Sunday after Sunday? So it would be almost as though we could see him walk in with the rest of the congregation, be seated, whether it's on the platform or whether it's in the congregation, just his presence there all of a sudden brings everything alive. Well, that's what revival is like. It's as though Jesus himself were present and all the things that would happen were he bodily present. He is present through his spirit, I know that. But what if he were bodily present? What a privilege that would be. You know, if we knew that he was going to be present in our church, all the other churches, we got to come there because he's the central force to everything that is going on. Well, what happens when Jesus is present? Some of the good things are, I think, that people want to worship him. Worship means to attribute worth to God, so it would be very likely that people would bow in adoration. When they sing the songs, it takes on a whole new meaning to be able to see Jesus there to tell him what worth they find in him. People would want to talk to him. And so if I'm just using different words instead of prayer, they would line up to be able to say, not only make requests, they would want to say, thank you so much. You have changed my life. I'm sorry I haven't lived closer to you than I have, but do know that you are central to all of my thinking. If Jesus is bodily present so people can see him, not just through eyes of faith, they will not only love him, they will love others. They will say, I guess I realize now that you love Ralph as much as you love me. Ralph has been a stinker as far as I'm concerned, but you seem to be patient with him. You want to bring him along, and that's a whole new understanding to me all of a sudden. I guess if you love him as much as you love me, maybe I got to love Ralph as well, and that's a good thing. So all those are good sides. I could say more. The word comes alive. If the individual preaching has nothing but the presence of Jesus there so people can see whether Jesus is nodding, whether he's paying attention, whether he even says amen every so often. I mean, that just energizes everyone. It is also true, and now I'm to the negative side where we started, but it's not what I would start with if I were preaching on revival. If Jesus is present, Jesus and sin don't go together. So there's a sense in which if there is sin in my life, I have to decide whether I'm going to go Jesus' way or my own way. It could be sins in terms of how I use my tongue. Could be sins in terms of how I use my money. Could be sins in terms of ego. Could be sins in terms of lust. Could be sins of any kind, But all these, if Jesus is there, I feel kind of funny if I come and all week long I've made the same mistakes over and over. Over time, what will happen is that people will become either so uncomfortable that they say, I think I'll stay away for a while and I'll check again in 6 months and see if Jesus is still there. And if he's still there, I'll hold back for a while because I just don't think I want to change. Or otherwise, they say, Jesus, it is a struggle for me. I'm embarrassed. I beg your forgiveness again. I know you forgive me, but I want you to know that if you'll forgive me, my intent is to change. I don't want this to continue to be who I am. And I not only want you to live here in the church every Sunday, I invite you to come and live in my house so that it's like you go home with me after church and I will experience your marvelous presence in our home. I want you to go to work with me. I want you to be central to my life. And I realize that's going to result in some major changes that are going to be painful to me, but that's still what I want. Well, that's revival. And there is that side to it, which, again, it just scares the daylights out of you to think, I want to be holy, but I want to have a little smudge every so often, And those require change. But my personal feeling is that I don't think that's where I'd start to preach. And if you start to preach there and then add the other, the love and the worship and the evangelism and the prayer and the scriptures becoming alive. In fact, not only in terms of church, but scriptures becoming a very lively part of your everyday life in home and whatever. I would preach the good side of it. That's what I would do. Almost catch people unaware when it comes to that holiness side. You can't skip it, but I'm not sure it's the lead message that you go with. And I say that because, again, people, when they hear the word revival, they think, old-time camp meetings, sawdust trail, weeping, screaming, emotional outbreaks, even the excesses of people barking or whatever, like you read some of these accounts of what happens during revival time. During revival, men and women are no longer in control. Jesus is in control. And that frightens people. So I don't think I would lead with the fright. I would lead with all the good things that are there.
The positive message would help allay fears.
Yeah, it would. Mm-hmm.
We're saying parishioners can better identify with a minister's burden for revival when they're helped to picture what it would look like, and particularly if they're given this positive picture of all of the wonderful things that people would experience if Jesus were to come and be physically present in our worship services, in our homes, with us at work. Wouldn't that be absolutely spectacular?
I've often thought, I wish I were alive when Jesus walked this earth. And I think how exciting it must have been to have followed him and see a miracle or two. I mean, that really would do wonders for you, wouldn't it? he didn't choose to stay on this earth all the time. But he does make his presence known. And that's what revival times are like. It's kind of like New Testament times all over again. And I don't want to paint revival as heaven, because you get a huge number of church splits during revival, because you have people who don't like what's going on, as well as people who are very grateful for what is going on. So you have tension, but it's a good tension. And I personally would hold it up as the ideal. And I think it's a wonderful thing. It's a word I revere.
Someone that I greatly respect said, "An overwhelming sense of the presence of Christ is that revival characteristic most prized by God's people."
Yeah, that's a good word. I recognize that. And I hear it back again, and I like it as you said it. So,
Parishioners can better identify with the minister's burden for revival when they are helped to picture what it would be like. We're so glad you joined us for our time together on our SermonCoach.com podcast. You found our podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We've purposely placed resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.